I was contacted last fall or last summer by Jerry, and there was some concern that the contract negotiations that were going on between the board and the former CEO, that there may be an impasse. And I was asked at that time if our credit union, myself and our credit union, would assist if, in fact, the CEO left. And without giving it too much thought and really knowing what I was getting myself involved with, I said, well, of course we would assist. That's part of the credit union philosophy. And we had actually helped in a similar situation down in Ketchikan about 7 or 8 years ago. There was Tongass Federal Credit Union down there, and they it was different circumstances, but their CEO had left and they were without that position. And we actually helped manage that credit union for about a year. And then they were able to hire a person that is still successfully running the credit union today. So we had some experience at doing this. The other thing that's maybe a little bit unique about our credit union is that we've not had a history of trying to merge with credit unions. It's not our goal to acquire credit unions that are struggling. We actually truly believe in the concepts of other cooperatives helping cooperatives. So anyway, I was approached. I came down in late November, and at that time I was still very hopeful that the contract would be successfully negotiated, and I met with the board. I also met with James, who I considered at the time to be my friend. I still do. And I'd worked with James. I knew Sandy Jones real well, the previous CEO. We had sort of an informal mentoring relationship that was very good. And so I had met James many years before. I knew Gary Sturton. I actually knew Larry Nelson way back when, again, the good old days. So I've had some background with the credit union. So at the end of the year, I was called, and as many of you, most of you know, the contract was not renewed. So we entered into an agreement the first part of January to provide management services during this interim period. And I made a trip down, I think sometime, well, I came down for the annual meeting. I remember being right in this very spot, I think, pretty much for the annual meeting. Shortly after that, I had sent down one of our staff members, an internal auditor, to review. I came down mostly to meet the staff. I really only knew one person on the staff at that time, and that was Vicki Wiedenhoff, who I had met previously. And so I was just trying to get to know people. Shortly after that, I sent our internal auditor down for a week. Of course, it turned into 3 days because he got stuck in Juneau on the way down. But he was just coming back and was issuing a report to me, which before I received it, I actually received a phone call from a couple of the staff members of ALPS. And there were some very unusual transactions that were going on within the credit union. And as soon as we became aware of that, myself, our operations manager, and our internal auditor came down. I think it was on a Thursday night, the very beginning of March. And we spent a week here, pretty much a week. We worked through the weekend trying to kind of figure out what was going on. And most of you know that we uncovered, actually the employees uncovered, brought it to our attention, what appears to be a multiple year embezzlement that had been going on. It involved Vicki Wiedenhoff, who is no longer employed with the credit union. We were able to document what we believe had been taken. We think that there's actually an ongoing audit that's going on. We hired another firm. I'll get into that in a second. But we uncovered approximately $180,000 that had been misappropriated during it dated back to 2007, and that immediately changed the game here. When we did this at Tongass, I kind of helped the operations people. They did the daily stuff. I worked with the board, worked with the regulators, and we made everything happen. All of a sudden, we were in a much, much different situation. We were counting on Vicki really to be, she was the one person I knew, and she was sort of the hub of the operations of the credit union. Everything seemed to start and stop with Vicki, and all of a sudden, you know, she was out of the picture. And I will tell you that I was very disappointed. Vicki, I didn't know her real well, but I have known Vicki over the years, and I don't know what her motivation was other than just pure greed, I guess, but it was very disappointing to me. We immediately went into sort of a crisis mode. We contacted the appropriate agencies, the National Credit Union Administration, which is the regulatory body that regulates federal credit unions. They insure the deposits of federal credit unions and state credit unions. We notified them. We notified the FBI and delivered to them the evidence that we had. We notified the bonding company. Something that you need to know is that the credit union does maintain a bond that, and this claim to date is well within the limits of that bond. So I would expect that you know, in the coming months that we would be able to recover this money. So it's not like it's all just gone forever, but there's a process you have to go through there. What was probably almost as disappointing as what we discovered with the embezzlement was we began to dig into the sort of the day-to-day functioning of the credit union. And I'm not going to assassinate anybody's reputation here. Vicki kind of did that to herself, but what I discovered was that Vicki had kind of made herself indispensable. It seemed like everything sort of started and stopped with her in terms of the operations, everything other than the lending side of things. And I don't know, I don't have an explanation, but it appears to us that she had increasingly become sort of dysfunctional in her job over a period of time. And I don't know when it started, but I will tell you that we spent a weekend, two of us, going through her office, and we had unopened mail from 2 years back sitting in her office. I had a stack of mail this thick that just dealt with employee benefits, health insurance, life insurance, pension fund, and some of it had not been opened for several years. And we had people that were on the benefit plan that no longer worked there. We had people that worked there that weren't on the benefit plans. It was a mess. We discovered over the coming days and weeks that there was a general lack of standard internal controls that every financial institution should practice. Now, ALPS is quite a bit smaller than the operation that where I work in my other job, but it's still, even with a small staff, you have to have dual control over your cash accounts. You have to have confidentiality on your teller codes and your passwords. And a lot of these functions, and I'm not blaming anybody, that's just the environment that we found. These things were not being done. And what it does is it opens the door for exactly what happened here, for someone to embezzle money. And so it was very concerning to us. As we dug into it further, there was also a general lack of accounting. The accounting records were not being reconciled on a regular basis. This includes cash accounts. We have a cash account at First National Bank. There's one with Westcor, which is a corporate credit union based in California. We have a Federal Reserve account. And virtually none of the general ledger accounts had been reconciled for months. And we still are working on that today. In fact, I will update you in a second. So, you know, when I came here in January, I stood right in this very spot and said, you know what, the credit union appears to be very healthy, your money's safe. And I still can say that today, but I did not have the perspective of being inside those doors and really knowing what was going on at that time. So, I'm just sharing with you what I've learned since that time.